Today is Daf Memtes. We are on Memtes. I'm on Aleph, four lines from the top of the two dots. Iboilehu. So the Gemara is not going to try to explain what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to be tomeint, in case the tashi on Erev Shabbos with muchin, which was some sort of like cotton or something hot, and wet grass. Wet grass was no good. Because that was, they assumed, was mostly Hevel. So Ibai Luhu. So they asked, when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to use Muchin or Savim Lachim, is it Dafka when they are Lachin Machmas Atzman, if they have their own natural moisture? Or Dilma Lachin Machmas Dover Acher? Or is it if they're moist from some outside source? Rashi says, Machmas Atzman, third line. If they get moist from their own natural moisture, then they are apparently they retain add more heat. Their eternal moisture, it gives more heat than if they got moisture, if they dried up and they got moisture from the outside. So Tashma, the Gemara brings a proof from another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, or our Mishnah says, lo betevin, you can't use straw, but lo bezagin, lo bemochin. The lo be'asavin b'zman sheheim lachin. So that's the list: tevin, zogin, mochin, and grass when they're wet. Now iamar b'shema lachin b'nachmas davar acher. If you're talking about when they became moist from something else, which means kol shekein, if they're moist by themselves, iamar b'shema lachin b'nachmas davar acher shapir. Then the Mishnah makes sense because all these things can have liquid fall on them. That's not a big deal. Ela iamar lachin b'nachmas atzman. But if you're talking about that they became lachin machmas atzman, then how does mochin, right? Mochin lachmas atzman heichim mishkachasle? How does the mochin? I don't know how to translate the mochin. It's something from the animal, right? What's that? That doesn't help me, Nick. What's flocking? What's mochin, right? Eliyamard, right? Lachin machmas atzman mochin. I think that means something sort of shearing or something that comes off of the animal. So mochin lachmas atmei atzman heichim mishkachasle. How do they have their own moisture? Right, it's like the fleece, I think, or something that comes off of the animal. Where does it get its own liquid? So the Gemara says, no, it can mimirta debeni atmei. It's talking about the wool, I guess, that comes off between the thighs of the animal, so it could be filled with other types of moisture, with sweat or urine or something like that can have its. Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that makes sense, actually, because that's what they're talking about. They're talking about this because the animal, and they say that if they'll talk about the flocking that's near its, between its thighs, that I guess it generates moisture over there. So the Gemara says, V'hadatani, the Gemara says, really, V'hadatani Ravoshia. Ravoshia said, Tomim, we can insulate. Bixus yevesha with dry, I guess, dry cloth. Ube perish yevashin, dry fruits. I guess they're not most of hevel, so you can instead with them on fruit, Erev Shabbos. Avalo. Okay. Right. I don't know. Okay. All right. No, it's good to know what the reality is before when you're learning. It's hard to picture everything. Okay. Yeah. But how the Tani Rav Oshia, Roshi says, Tomin b'ksus yevesha, you can insulate with dry clothing, with peyrus yevesha, with dry fruit. Avalo b'ksus lacha, but not with moist, with a moist article of clothing. V'le with peyrus lacha, not with moist fruits. So Gemara says, ksus lacha mit machmas atzma, heichem ishkachasla. Ksus, what do you mean? Ksus, you can't do with a ksus lacha. How do you get moist? If we just said that the moisture that we're talking about is moisture that comes from itself, it's natural moisture. So what natural moisture do you have from the ksus? The Gemara says again, mitrom the baby b'nei. It's from semer. It's from wool that came between the thighs of the animal, which is moist by itself, and then I guess somehow it maintained the moisture. You're not allowed to use that. You're not allowed to use that on Erev Shabbos because that is going to be mosif hevel. Okay. And the Mishnah is going to continue now discussing other items of the, what you can or cannot be used for insulation. So again, we're talking about insulating Erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos you can't insulate at all. So we're talking about Erev Shabbos, and Erev Shabbos, again, it can only be something that doesn't, that's not Mosif Hevel. It doesn't add any heat. So Gemara says, Tomnim Biksus, right? You can with clothing, clothing, with Peirus, and with fruit products. Like they say here, like Chitin or Kitnios, I guess you encapsulate the whole thing around with wheat. Bikanfe Yona, with the wings of the dove. Binisores Shelcha Roshim, I think that means like the shards that shave the shavings that come off when the carpenter shaves down wood. Ubin Neoros Shelpishkan Daka, and I guess these little pieces that fall off of the flax when you clean it. Rabbi Yehuda, but they have to be thick from Daka. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bidaka. You're allowed to do Bidaka. Rehuda Oser Bidaka, who says you're not allowed to use the thick, and Matir Bigasan, thin. You're allowed to use thin, as he forbids with thin, but he was Matir with Gasa, and he permits with the thicker ones. The Gemara is going to explain what Rabbi Yehuda is going on, because it seems to be a separate piece. What's Rabbi Yehuda discussing? Okay, so now the Gemara is going to do it to a sidebar. It's a little difficult as to why the Gemara brings the story here. But it could be because we talked about Kanfei Yona, talked about the wings of the Yona, so the Gemara brings a story about the wings of the Yona. So Amar Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai says, Tfilin tzrichim guf naki ke elisha ben kafayim. In order to wear tfilin, you have to have a clean body like Elisha bal kafayim. Elisha bal kafayim had a clean body. Gemara doesn't ever say where we know that Elisha bal kafayim had a clean body. What does it mean, guf naki? So Abaye says, Shelo yafiach behem. You can't pass gas. You have to be clean. You're not allowed to pass gas until you take off the tefillin. Rava says, Shelo yishan behem. You cannot sleep. You cannot fall asleep in them. Rashi says, Shelo yishan behem. Shema yafiach. Because if you fall asleep, then you're no longer in control of your bodily functions, and maybe you'll pass gas. O yira keri. Rashi says, maybe at night, you'll have an emission. Aval im yochol lahizahir, Shelo yishan behem. If you can keep yourself from falling asleep, but then you consider it clean, because you can contain yourself, you can control yourself. So as long as you control yourself, I'm not falling asleep, then that's okay. Tosos on the bottom, we'll get the other Tosos. Tosos says, Amar Abaye Shlo Yafiach Behen, he says, Sheyuchal Lishmor Asmam Leafiach Ad Sheyosar Tefillin. You have to be able to maintain, to keep, you have to pass gas to take them off. Avalo Chai Shema Yishan. He's not concerned, maybe you might fall asleep. The Afakat the Pamim Yuchol Yizar Mishena, because you can prevent yourself from falling asleep. The Rava Matzrich Gam Sheyochol Amin Asvul B'Shmei Yishena. Rava requires both Shelo Yafiach and that you don't fall asleep. Rava is afraid that you might just doze off and get a quick nap. Shetachazenu Hashena Shelo Yishon Pitam. Umiu Abaye Nami Moed Ha'Asvul Yishon. Rabbi agrees you're not allowed to purposely fall asleep in your tefillin. He's just saying that we're not concerned that when you put on your tefillin that the guy is going to start dozing off. I guess he's never saw people waking up early for a daf yomi falling asleep with their tefillin on in the shul. But that's how you get a guf naki. And then Tosfos again, Rashi had said that what's the problem with Yishan? Rashi said the problem with Yishan was that maybe you would pass gas, or maybe that you have Balkari. So Tosfos says Shelo Yishan behen Mishum Shelo Yafiach behem Shashena, but he doesn't say Mishum Kari. He says Om Mishum Hesach Hadas. You're going to lose your concentration, lose your intent when you have the tefillin. Aval Mishum Kari Ein Lochlish. But Tosfos argues that he's not concerned about the Kari. So then the Gemara is going to go back and say, well, Amai Karlei Bal Kanafayim. Why do we call Elisha Bal Kanafayim? Again, the Gemara does not mention anywhere that Elisha had a gufnaki. So Tosfos Elisha Bal Kanafayim explains that the Hachi Nakat Elisha, why do they use Elisha as the example of somebody as a gufnaki? He says, the Mistama came and Shanasal and Esbitfilin, Hayazahir Behen, Vahailo Gufnaki. So he says, we're going to see in a moment that Elisha Bal Kanafayim had a miracle happened to him with the tefillin. So Gematosa says, Mestama, that since a miracle happened to him with tefillin, must be that he kept tefillin appropriately, and therefore he's an example of somebody who had gufnaki. So what's the miracle that happened to Elisha? Am I Karle Baknafayim? It says, Pam Achas Gazra Malchus Romi Harisha Gzeir Al Yisrael. One time, the evil Romans made a decree about on the Bnei Yisrael. Most probably, this is during the Hadrianic times. Shekol hamaniach tefillin, whoever puts on tefillin, yinakros mochro. They'll drill a hole into his head. Right? He puts on tefillin shorosh, mida take a mida, they'll pierce his skull. Right? So, v'hayalisha meinicham, but Elisha didn't care. He put on the tefillin, v'yotze l'shuk. And he went out to the marketplace, and everyone can see wearing his tefillin. So Ra'ul Kazdor, so I guess one of the captains saw him, Ra'ul Kazdor Acha, that he was wearing a tefillin, Ratz Mipanov. So Pashup Shad is that he ran after Elisha. Elisha ran away, the Ratz Acharov, and this captain ran after him. The Kevon Shigiaslo, so the Kazdor caught up to him, Notlon Meirosho, so Elisha took off the tefillin from his head, and he's hiding them, he's holding him in his hand. So Amrlo, so the Kastor says to him, Mazabiotha, so what is this in your hand? Amrlo, Kanfeyona, it's a dove, it's the wings of a dove, right? Uparchalas Yado, he opened his hands, Venimsa Kanfeyoda. It turns out that a miracle happened, it's a bird, that's the wings of a bird. But Shaurosh has those two flaps on the side, those are the wings of the bird. Lefika Kari Loso Elisha Baknafayim. That's why they called him Elisha Baknafayim, because this nace happened to him. I don't know about other people. I have a minug, and I saw Rabbi Wolf from Yungizel Woodmere also has the minug. And when they wrap up the tefillin shorosh, they don't tie down the flaps. They leave the flaps open. My grandfather told me because they're about their knafayim, because of Elisha about knafayim. That's why at the minug, Rabbi Wolf has a similar minug over there. I don't need to listen. Who? Me? No, Rabbi Wolf! That is true. My uncle Laser, my cousin Hanan who comes to visit, my father, my brother. I'll give you more examples. Okay. So We'll get to it. Umayshnai Kanfeyona. So why Umayshnai Kanfeyona Mishar Ophos? Why do they compare Elisha to, and why did the Elisha and the Tefillin to Kanfeyona as opposed to other birds? Why only birds? Why did he say it's Kanfeyona? Why did he say it's, I don't know, bird, you know, wings of any other bird? He says, Mishum de is the Imtil Knesset Yisrael liyona, because Bnei Yisrael are compared to a Yona. Shnei Amar Pachas Tehillin Kanfei Yona Nechpa BeKesef. The kind of words of the wings of the Yona, I guess, guard the silver. It says Ma Yona Knafel Manichos Olel, just like the wings of a bird of the Yona guard it, I guess, from the cold. Af Yisrael Mitzos Meginos Aleim. So too, when it comes to Yisrael, the Mitzos protect him. Right? Rashi says Kanfei Meginos. Kanfeyona, kafem nagios aleo min hakatsa min natsina from the cold. When we call off for Adam habaale, he nuchemes sumakav roskafia. The dove protects itself. Masha inkim b'shar ofos. Apparently, there's something different between the birds and the other at the wings of the yona and the wings of other birds. That the yona is more apt to use its wings to protect. So, to the Bnei Yisrael, use its the mitzvahs to protect them. So, there's a lot to talk about this. We'll just start with Tosos. So, Tosos says. Right, we'll get to Yossi. You're asking, well, why did he do that? Right, you heard about Yavor, all these things. Okay, so Tosos says, let's just go through them. This big Tosos. Elisha bal knafayim. So we said again, lahachi naki Elisha. Why does it say Elisha? The mistama came and shnasa lo nais betfilin hayazar behen vahilo guf naki. Fine. Umizeh atam. Right. From this reason, what mizeh atam? What guf naki? Right. Ein anu yucholim lipoter. Right. Shaharei bezeh anu yucholim yizayir. He says, we cannot use this as an excuse to say that we don't put on tefillin. Oh, I don't want to put on tefillin because I can't keep a gufnaki. No, you just got to be careful and keep the gufnaki. And you wear your tefillin, you can't use that as an excuse as not to wear your tefillin. But he says, ve'ein tema alma she mitzvah zos refuyu biyadenu. Tosos a few times says that there were two mitzvahs that we take for granted that during their times, people were not so makbid. One was tzitzis and one is tefillin. He says, and don't ask why this mitzvah is very weak in our hands, right? And I guess he's talking about his time, Bali Tosos. I thought the issue was simply because it was expensive and hard to make. But he says, Shegam b'yimei chachamim hayasa refuya. Even during the times of the chachamim, it wasn't not people weren't so, you know, they keep to it so well. Kidatani Parakir Lazar Bamila, we'll see you on Daf Kuflamid, Rav Shimon Lazar Omer, Kol mitzvah shel Masra Asma Yisrael Leh, B'shash Hashmad, any mitzvah that Bnei Yisrael were most in nefesh to keep during times of persecution, Kegon Tfilin, like Tfilin, Adain he refu biyodam. It's still considered weak in the hands, they don't keep it so much. I have a high down reading of the Parakam of Rosh Hashanah, but don't we say in the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah that Poshe Yisrael Begufon Karparsa, the Lomanach Tfilin, we call Poshe Yisrael, who's a Poshe Yisrael? Those who don't put, who have their head without Tfilin. So he says, no, what does that mean? Omer Benotam, Demayri Ba'osan She'osim Machmas Mered, Omer Vazin HaMitzos. Right, we're talking about those. That's the people who are considered poshei Yisrael, those who don't put on tefillin because, you know, of rebellion, right? Or they're mocking, right? So and then he says v'hadam rinam medrash. He quotes him. Quotes a medrash. The side here, it's he says it's psikta rabsi. I don't know where it says. Quotes a medrash that tefillin ipnei malo herziko behen. Why didn't people? Why did they keep tefillin? He says ipnei haramayim. Was it mainly? It wasn't kept because of the those who were tricking. He says, what does that mean? So he says he brings a story that there were people who used to walk around wearing tefillin all day with this, you know, false piety, and somebody gave money to one of these people to guard his money, and then when he went back to get his money, he said, no, he never gave me the money, and he said, what are you talking about? I only gave the money because you were wearing tefillin on your head the whole day. So that's why they, you know, neha ramayim, that means that they don't trust people just because they're wearing tefillin. Okay, that's that. Now, what was Elisha ben Avua doing? Okay, why is tefillin one of the harvah yavors? But there's a shasha shmad you're wearing. I gave away the answer. There's a kakana that you're not allowed to wear tefillin, and it's not one of the big three. Right? Toso says so that's a bigger question. Then the bigger question you're asking is why do you take it off? Right? It's shasha shmad. That's what we say. With a shasha shmad, the Gemara says that even if they tell you to wear different shoelaces, you're not allowed to wear the different shoelaces. So that I understand. But why was he allowed to take them off? Right, Rashi Tosos quotes, he says on the bottom, first wide line, Natlam Yerosho, he says, Va'afal gav darminam misanhejin, dibishas hashmad, afilu al mitzvah kalo yahar gvel yavor, on shash hashmad, when there's persecution, even on a small mitzvah, you have to be killed and not violate the mitzvah. Afilu lishnuya arkasa dimisana asr, you have to change your shoelaces, that's asr. He says, Hainu mishum dibishnuya arkasa misnai ko ovikochavim, vidomet shemotzi asmo michal Yisrael. Because that's if you wear those shoelaces, you look like the goyim, you look like the avodah zara, and therefore you're making yourself look different. Aval hacha eino osa klum. What was going on here? So what would be the big deal? So he took off his tefillin. So who does he look like? Looks like a Jew who's not wearing his tefillin. I guess, you know, not everybody, like we said before, not everybody was wearing tefillin. He says aval hacha eino osa klum. Elosh eino tefillin barosu sha'achas. He doesn't have tefillin on his head for 1 hour, right? Vaharbe Yisrael. There are plenty from Yisrael. She'ein hem tefillin kamoso. There are plenty of people walking around that warrant wearing tefillin, but so the question that Tosos seems to be bothered with more, Yossi, is not how was he able to wear the tefillin, because that's a shash shmad, is how was he able to take off the tefillin and to shash shmad is supposed to be a harim val yavor. You want to ask something, Yossi? Right, so that's what they say that a lot, so that's why they do that. So according to that's a shash hashmad, so there's a machlokas we showed in between the Rambam and basically everybody else, is when you have the mitzvah that it's not necessarily Yahari Val Yavor, right? It's not Yahari Val Yavor. And you put yourself in a situation like Daniel in Sefer Daniel, he went and started davening in public when it was not allowed to. So it's not allowed to put yourself in that's, are you permitted to put yourself into that situation? So you're quoting the Rambam. Rambam says, no, if it's not Yahari Val Yavor, and you put yourself in that situation, the Rambam says, Dama Barosho, right? You're not allowed to do that. But according to the other Rishonim, you're permitted. You're allowed to. You're allowed to put yourself in that situation. You're allowed to take the risk. You're allowed to run the risk because it's your choice. If you want, and this is a Shasha Shmad, and if you wanted to, you could put yourself into that situation, provided, I guess, that only endangers you, as opposed to endangering endangering other people. I believe, we'll find it for a second. Right, the Ron asked how he took it off. Okay, he says, Ron says, in Tomer, in Cain, Hechi Moser Nasha, in Monach, Kevin Shein Mukhuy Batover, Nimsh Mishai Benasho. So he says, Afopish in Mukhuy Vlaharigal Kiyuma, Phil Hachi Rosha, in Limsar Nasho. Right, so they say you're permitted. So it's a big question. It's a big question on the Rambam, right? So the Rambam, because the Lecha Mishnah quotes, he says that there's another machlokas. The other machlokas is over here whether you have a din of Yahar Gval Yavor on a mitzvah saseh. Usually, Yahar Gval Yavor is on a low saseh. What about a mitzvah saseh? So the Rambam says, and Shasha, even Shasha Shmad, it becomes a mitzvah saseh, and you have a din of Yahar Gval Yavor. So a mitzvah saseh, also you have a din of Yahar Gval Yavor, so therefore, Elisha ben Avua had a mitzvah saseh to do this. He had Yahar Gval Yavor, he wanted to do it. It was Shasha Shmad, he wanted to show everybody what was doing, and he had a right and an obligation to go out like this. He's the Gadol Ador, I guess, and he can go out and do that. But yeah, you're right, Yossi, it's tough. Okay, let's continue. The Mishnah says that you can be. Mishnah said that you can insulate binusoresh shel charoshin. Right, you can use the shavings of the carpenters, and then except binuuros shel pishtan daka, the thin leftovers from the flax. And then Rabbi Yehuda said you're not allowed to use daka, but you're allowed to use gasa. So what's Rabbi Yehuda discussing? Is he talking only about? Is he talking about both binusoresh shel charoshin and the binuuros shel pishtan, or only about one? So Rabbi Yehuda, when he says that you're not allowed to use the thin, but you're allowed to use the thick, is that on a sorish al charashim kai? Is he talking about the shavings from the carpenter? Even by them, there's a difference between thick and thin. Oh, on the orish al pishtan kai, or is he only discussing the last words of that Mishnah, which is talking about this leftover from the flax? So the Gemara says Tashmo Kabe Brisa. The Brisa says the Tanya. The Brisa says Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says Naoro shel pishtan daka hareyu kezevel. The thin naoros of pishtan is like zevel. Zevel is something that's most of hevel, and therefore you're not allowed to use that. Shma mina naoros shel pishtan kai. You see that Rabbi Yehuda is only discussing the naoros shel pishtan shma mina, which means when it came to the naoros of the charoshin, he makes no distinction between thick or thin. You can use either of them. It's only by the Ne'orah Shel Pishtan, which Rabbi Yehuda said that you not only use the thin, but you can use the thick. Okay. Next Mishnah. So the Mishnah is again going to continue discussing things about Hatmana on Shabbos. So the Mishnah we discussed things that you can or can't use for insulation, but these items now, are they considered muksa? Even though you're using for insulation, maybe there's some muksa status to them. So Tomim Bishilchin. So you can use, you're allowed to insulate on Erev Shabbos with these shilchins. Shilchin, I think these are hides, right? These are some sort of hides that were taken off the animal. Apparently, they're not most of hevel, so therefore you can insulate with them. Umitaltin olsom, and they become mutter to move them on Shabbos. Whether or not you use them, Rashi points out, whether or not you use them for hatmana or not, they are not muksa. Why? Because they have a usage on Shabbos. Their usage on Shabbos is to sit on them. They become mats that you can use and sit on them. But big day tsemer, if you're going to use this type of wool, you can use those to insulate, but ein metalton osan, you cannot move them because they become muksa. Rashi says that their muksa are what purpose? The muksos hein letavos el arog, because their only purpose, the purpose they're set aside, is to sew and to stitch with them, to make clothing out of them. And that's a klishon lachol isser, I guess, whatever it is, it's usser because you're not going to do that on Shabbos. So what do you do? So ketzad huosa. So if they're insulated in these things, I can't move them aside because they're muksa. I can't move them. So how do I do that? So the idea was, I think what was, is that the handle of the pot was still exposed. So Mishnah says no teles kisoy. What you do is you pull off the top of the pot. The hay no flos melee, and then everything around it, I guess, will fall by itself. It's sort of like tiltum in a tzad, and everything will fall by himself. That's how you get it off. Right? Rashi says. Mm-hmm. So, apparently these were very expensive and not. Mara will talk about it, I believe. I'm not sure if today or tomorrow. But Rashi says, "Ei metalten also the muksos heim the tavos al arik," because these are set aside for ariga, and it's not. And also, you didn't set it aside for use on Shabbos. You set it aside on Erev Shabbos, and it's you're not allowed. The only thing that it's doing is you're not using it; it's just insulating. Instead, it's hard for you to touch them or to move them. But that's a good question. I think the Gemara talks about it later. I'm not sure. But let's read Rashi again. Rashi says, "Ketzad uosa." So what does he do? Zesha tamaben. This one who insulates with them. Ketzad yitol kadeiroso. How can he get his pot? Hold the osel taltlon. You can't just carry them out. He says, "Sharehi tamuna kulapa." It's completely encased in it. He says, "No tel kisroi shal kadeiroshi is torus klialeh." You can take the kli, you take the handle and pull it off. Now the Rashi asks a question. He goes, "Wait a second. We just said that these cotton, even those wool, is muksa. So the muksa is now on the pot cover. So didn't we just talk about the idea of buses? So now the pot cover is a bus that's a davar muksa. So how can you move the pot handle?" Right, he goes, the afal gav shein aleh loeth patlon. Even though they're on top of it, we don't care. The lo nasis buses lahan, because they don't become a buses. Why? Shein asoy el liksos hakadera. Because who is serving whom? What's serving what? Here, when it comes, a bus is the case where the base is serving the muksa item. Here, the muksa item is serving the base. So Rashi says that's not considered a bus as a davar aser. Usually, they can have the candelabra. The candlesticks are the tray is being used as a base for the candles. Here, it's the muksa item is being used for the non muksa item. So it's not considered a bus as the davar aser. Okay. The Mishnah then continues. Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah Omer. Rabbi Lezer says, so how do you deal with the kedera that's completely encapsulated in kupa? If you have it in the kupa, so again, it's one of those types of ovens. He says mata al tzida. Somehow you tip the kupa over, and then you pull it out. You pull it out. Shema yi, because if you just take it out completely, again, this is we're going to read the Mishnah. The Gemara's going to discuss this. Because shema yi tol ve'inu yochel ha'atzir. Because maybe if you take out the pot directly, you won't be able to put it back in. I don't know how you can put it back in. When you're putting it back in, you can't put it back in on Shabbos. You can't do Atman on Shabbos. Right? The Chum Amrim no tel ha'matzir. Chum say you can take it out and put it back in. Right? Rashi says, Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer kupa mata al tzida v'notel kishavah litol ha'kedera mata kupa al tzida. You push it on the side. Shema yitol, because what might happen when you take the kedera of the yipol ha'gizin shemikana mikana toch guma. I'm not sure what happened there. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. You guys back? Where'd you guys leave off? So are we in the Rashi? Okay, Rolaz ben Azariah Omer, Kupa, when you have this Kupa, right? And that, I don't know what that was. You know, maybe my cursor moved over, okay? Shema Yitol, with the Kupa, how do you get it out? He says you tip the Kupa over, the Al-Sida, onto the side, and then you pull it out. Because if you pull it out regularly, you won't be able to put it back in. You can take the pot out and put it back in. Rashi says, Shema Yitol, maybe because when you take out the Kadeira of the Yiplu HaGizun, Shemikam Mikam Toch HaGuma. What might happen is when you pull out the pot, then some of the stuff is going to fall into the hole, I guess, where it's in, and you won't be able to move anything because of all the shearings there are muksa. Right? The Gemara is going to explain what's going on. Not now, but I think tomorrow. The Gemara will explain what's going on with the Mishnah. So Yosef Rav Yonasan Achinoi, Rav Yonasan Ben Elazar. So these two Rav Yonasans are sitting. The Yosef Rav Chanina Bar Chama Gabayu. And Rav Chanina Bar Chama is sitting with them. So, you guys there? Okay, yeah. All right, so v'kami bayiluhu, and this Rav Chanina asked the two Rav Yonastans the following question: Shulachin shel balabayistan. We talked about things that the hides of the balabayist; those things are not muksa. Aval shel uman, but the shulachin, the hides of the uman of the craftsman who's using these as to sell, came into kapitalayu. Since he's makvid, he doesn't want them to get ruined because he wants to sell them. Lo mat mitaltinuhu. Those are muksa. You're not allowed to carry move those. O Dilma, or maybe Shel Uman Tanan, or maybe when the Mishnah says Shlachin, it was talking about the Shlachin of the Uman. And those, right, the Kol Shekein Shel Baal HaBayis. So the Shlachin of the Uman aren't Muksa, and Kol Shekein, the Shlachim of the Baal HaBayis are not Muksa. That's the question. So Amar Lahu, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, so Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar answers, Mistabra makes sense, Shel Baal HaBayis Tanan. And when the Mishnah says what's Mutter, he's talking about the Shlachin of the Baal HaBayis. Right? The Shlachin of the Baal HaBayis are not Muksa, which therefore would mean the Shlachim of the Uman would be Muksa. But the Uman, he's kapid alayu. He'll be makbid, and therefore, because he doesn't want anyone sitting on them, because they're going to get ruined. Right? So, Amal Hur Bechin Bar Chama. So, Bechin Bar Chama says, no, you're wrong. You can even be metal to the shlachan of the Uman. Because, Kach Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, because this is where Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi said, Abba, the father, Rabbi Yossi's father, Shalachahave. I guess this was his job, that he had these hides. Amar, and he said, Machlokas Rashi tells us when he said this. Rashi says he said during the week, Heviyu shlachim v'neishim aleihem. Bring me some of the hides and we'll sit on them. See, he's not makbid to sit on them. Rashi says it happened during the week. Tosos says, no, it happened on Shabbos. And if it happens on Shabbos, that's why we're passing that way, because then that becomes a Maisa Rav. A Maisa Rav is much more, when someone does something, that's much more powerful, Gabi Psak, than just a statement. Okay. So we have this machlokas, seems to be, we have this machlokas now is whether or not the shlachim of the uman are muksa. So Mesve, the Bnei Yeshiva, asked, Nisarin shel bal habayis metaltin osam, shel uman e metaltin osam. So Nisarim are like the boards, right? So you have these boards that are for the bal habayis, I guess he has these boards in his house that you can use, because those aren't, he's not going to sell them. He's not looking to sell them. But of the Uman, the Nesarim of the Uman, he is looking to sell them, right? You can't sit on the boards, I guess, that are in Lowe's, because those they want to be sold. So they don't want them to get ruined. So a metalton also. But im chishev lasei salei pasta orchin, ben kach u ben kach metalton. Like all muksa, and it's Marcellus goes to your question, if you had intent to use them for something that was mutter on Shabbos, so then you took it out of the realm of muksa, and they'll be allowed to use even if they are the boards of a Uman. So that the question is, seems to be that you see there is a distinction between a Baal HaBayis and an Uman. When it comes to the Baal HaBayis, he's not Makbid, the Uman is Makbid. So the Uman is, the assumption is if the Uman is Makbid on the boards, the Uman would also be Makbid on his hides. So how can you tell me that the hides are not going to be Muksa? So the Gemara says, no, Shani Nisharim, they copy the Layu. This makes a difference. The Nisharim, they are Makbid on. But the shlachim, they wouldn't be makbid on. It just depends. You can't just make a blanket statement across the board. Anything that an uman has, that's going to be muksa. Fine. So tashma, so the Gemara now wants to prove, I think from this price, they're trying to prove that you are permitted to move the oros, the hides of the uman. So tashma, we learned in our price. So oros, when it comes to the hides, bein avudin, bein she'en avudin, whether I guess they were tanned, right, or not, mutter l'taltalon b'Shabbos. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos because no one's makbid on them, right? Even if they're tanned, right? V'lo amru, and we only made v'lo amru avudim el inyan tum bavad. The distinction between avudim and not avudim only applies to gabei tumah. For something to be a kli, it has to be completed. It has to be finished. So these hides are not going to be considered finished until they're tanned. So they're not going to be makabel tumah until that point. But that's the only difference between that's the only difference if they were avudim or not. So the Gemara says, my love, lo shnashal Baal HaBayis, v'lo shnashal Uman. The Baisa makes no distinction between the hides of the Baal HaBayis and the hides of the Uman. It says that they're both mutl talchon b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, shal Baal HaBayis. We're only talking about the Baisa is only discussing the hides of the Baal HaBayis, and therefore the hides of the Uman would still be usher to move. That's a lot of entertainment over there. So the Gemara says about shul uman mai. So the Gemara says, well, okay. So you're telling me from that price is only talking about the hides of the Baal HaBayis. So what's going to be with the hides of the uman? E metalton that you're not allowed to be metalton. E hachi. So that's the case. The price made a distinction. The Maisa made a distinction, and the distinction they made was between there's no distinction if they're tanned or not. Make a distinction between the Baal HaBayis and the Uman, right? The Gemara says, "Hadatani lo amru avudim elin tumuvad liflo glisabididei." Don't make a distinction between hides that are tanned and hides that are not tanned. Make a distinction in the hides itself. The hide of the Baal HaBayis is one thing. The hide of the Uman is another thing. So you can say, "But medvar medurim shal Baal HaBayis aval shul Uman lo." That's what the distinction you should make. The Gemara says, "No." I don't understand the question. Is kula of the Baal HaBayis kamari? We just said that this brisa is only discussing the hides of the Baal HaBayis. So therefore, if you're going to make a distinction, you have to make a distinction within the hides of the Baal HaBayis. We're not discussing the hides of the Uman. So based from this brisa, we have no raya to say, or maybe have a raya to say that it's only the oros of the Baal HaBayis that are not muksa. The Gemara then says, kitanai, it's a machlokas tanayim, right? Bring the machlokas tanayim that says oros, I guess this is a brisa, Orosha Baal HaBayis metalkin also, Bishal Uman e metalkin also. Tanakama holds like Rav Yonasan ben Elazar, who says that the Oros of the Uman, you may not metalkin them on Shabbos. Rav Yossi says, no, Echadzeh b'Echadzeh metalkin also. This one and that one, you can't be metalkin. And that makes sense, because Rav Yossi was the one who quoted his father, who said that he allowed him to sit down. So then it makes a difference as to whether what happened with his father was on Chol or on Shabbos. Because if it was on Shabbos, then we have a Maaseh Rav, and we would be paskening like Rav Yossi. That's what Tosos points out. The top Tosos points out, says, Abba Shulcha, he says, Perish Rabbeinu, is that a Ches or a Tes? Perish Rabbeinu Chanan or Rabbeinu Tam, V'amar Heveli Shulchan B'Shabbos. Right, they'll bring it to me on Shabbos, V'alach like Rav Yossi, the Kaimel on Maaseh Rav. And the Halach will be like Rav Yossi, because we hold like a Maaseh Rav. Okay, so now we still have that these Chachamim, right, the two Rav Yonah sons, and Rav Chanina are sitting. So Hadri Yosef Kami Bailu, they're still sitting, and they asked the following question. Now this following question probably should, in my mind, should have been like the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos. Hadi Tanan, that's what we learned in the Mishnah, in Avos Malachos Arbaim Chasar Achas, that there are 39 Avos Malachos, right, Kinegan Me. Where did you learn that from? How do you get 39 Malachos? Pretty fundamental thing for Masechta Shabbos that is tucked away on Mem Tes on the base. His avos malachos Avram ve'achad connecting me. Where did you get them? So Amar lahu. So Rebbechani Bar Chama says, where do we get 39 malachos from? Keneged avodos hamishkan. It's connected the malachos that were done in avodos hamishkan. Machlokas Rishonim, what that means, avodos hamishkan. Rashi says that avodos hamishkan means in building the mishkan. What was done to build the mishkan? The Rabbi Elchananel says that you can also deal with avodos done in the mishkan. Like when after the mishkan was built, avodah was done during, you know, for the avodah in the mishkan. Rashi says, "Keneged avodah hamishkan from the top, osan hamenuyo hasham beperek lagadol hayutzrichim the mishkan. We need it for the mishkan. Uparsha Shabbos nismichal uparshas malachas hamishkan lilmodumena. That's why there's a connection. Hold on, my internet is unstable again. Can you hear me? Okay, so that's why you have." And we see it all the time in the Rashi, in the Torah, that Shabbos is connected to Mishkan to teach you about that we learned the malachos of Shabbos from the avodah that was done in the Mishkan. Fine. So Amar lahu Rav Yonasan Rav Elazar Kacham Rav Shimon Rav Yosi and Knoya. Where do we get 39 from? He says Keneged Malacha Milachto Umaleches Shabbatorah Arboim Chasar Achad, because it says the words Malacha Malachto Maleches in the Torah 39 times. In reality, it says it 65 times. So that's, right? Those words are said 65 times. So I didn't count. I looked it up. So that's why that's a question on here. What's going on? How do you get 39? Which ones do you use? Which one we don't use? So Tosos points out that they're only learning from here the number 39. But what was actually each malacha? They must have had a mesorah. Look at Tosos points. Tosos Arbayim. He says, Deharbei malachu sheyesh dedamim lahadadi. There are lots of malachos that are very similar to each other, and we'll get to this. They could have been one malacha in the one category. These three, they're very similar, right? Because of a little difference between one or the other. It's obviously separating, right? It's separating good from bad. So in different processes, but so we would have just had it into one malacha. Right, unless we had this idea, this Masorah, that there are 39 keneged shum davar lekach boy keneged me. That's why we need to know where the 39 come from, because we know that they're 39, and therefore we have to start separating malachas that we wouldn't have normally separated. Okay, so right back, Amar Rav Yonah ben Elazar, Kacham Rav Shimon Rav Yosef Knuyam keneged malacha malachto maleches b'Torah arboim chaser achas. Boy, Rav Yosef, says, okay, you're counting these malachos. I mentioned there's 65. Are you counting all of them? What about the following words? Right? It says, especially by Yosef, and Aishis Potiphar, it says that Yosef came by Yavoha Baisa Lassos Malachto. He came home to do malachto. So what does malachto mean? Does that mean work? Right? He says, Miminyanahu, is that in the count or no? Is that count part of 39 or not? So Amr Le, Avaya says, V'leisi Sefer Torah V'limnei. Let's just bring a Sefer Torah and count and see how many it is. He says, no. They brought the Sefer Torah and they counted. So the Gemara says, okay, that wasn't the question. Yeah, I know we can count, but there are multiple, I think the Gemara is saying that we count and there are more than 39. Is this one included in that count? So Amar Le, Ki Kamasafkali, what's my suffix? It's Mishum Diksiv, it says in the Malacha Samishkan, it says, V'hamalacha Haisa Dayam, there the Malacha was enough. Miminyanahu, is that part of the minyan, right? V'hag command to Amar. So if you say v'hamalacha haisadayim is from the minyana, so then when it says that the pasuk by Yosef v'yavo v'aisam milachto, that's not going to be part of the minyan, and that would be command to Amar lasso strachav nichnas. He came to he had bad intentions when he came home. Malacha would be a euphemism for having. I can't help that. I'm sorry. I don't know. All right. So he says, Amar Le, Ki Kamasafkele, right? Ki Kamasafkele, Mishum Deksiv, V'malacha Haisadayim, Minyanahu. That's in the minion of Lamites. So the question then is, what do you do with the word Malacha by Yosef? So he says, V'hakimand Amar Lasot Strach of Nichnas. When it says the word Malacha by Yosef, does that mean, is that part of the count, meaning he's doing a Vodah work? Or is that talking about Lasos Malacha, meant that he came in with bad intentions to be with Aishas Potiphar? O Dilma, right? Shvayavo, Habaisa Lasos Malachto. Or maybe you include the words by Malacha by Yosef. That's Munyanahu, that means he came to do work. And then Vahayav, Malacha Haisadayam, and that when it says Vamalacha Haisadayam at the end of the Mishkan, Hachika Amar, it's the Sholem Levidisei. It says that they finished, I guess, giving, they finished being volunteering and donating, and they didn't have to bring anymore, so they stopped donating. The question was, as they were counting, and then they were stuck on these two. Which one of these two is in the count? So it depends on how you translate the words. If you translate the word malacha by Yosef to mean actual work, then you're going to have to translate the word malacha by Mishkan to not mean work. If you can translate the word malacha by Mishkan to mean work, then by Yosef you have to retranslate that word malacha to not mean work, to mean that he came initially with intentions to be with Asius Potiphar, the Gemara says Teku, so we don't know necessarily which words of the malacha count to 39 or not. Okay. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Kimanda Amar Kineged Avodos HaMishkan, according to one who says that the malachos are learned from the Avodah of the Mishkan, the Tanya, the Braisa says, how do we know that? Because the Braisa says, Ein Chayovim Ela Malacha Shekayotze V'Haisa V'Mishkan. Clear Braisa, it's a proof. Not, right? The Braisa says, the only Chayah from Malacha that was done in the Malachas of the Mishkan. Heim Zaru, right? They seeded. Afatem Lo Tizru, you don't seem. Heim Katsru, they harvested. Atem Lo Tixru, where they do that in the Midbar, it's a good question. But so that's, they did that. You don't do that. Heim Helu Es HaKrushim, they picked up the crushim from the from Mikarkala Gala, from the ground to which is a Rishus Harabim, onto the wagon, which is Rishus Yochid. Vatem lo tachnis Rishus Harabim Rishus Yochid. You too cannot bring from Rishus Harabim Rishus Yochid. Heim horidu es hakrushim me'agala, which is Rishus Yochid. They took it off from the Agala, lekarka, onto the Rishus Harabim when they encamped. Vatem lo sotzim Rishus Yochid Rishus Harabim. You too cannot bring out from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Harabim. Heim hotziu me'agala la'agala. They took from one agala to another agala, which is from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, right? Va'atem, you too, lo sotziu me'Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid. You can't bring from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. Mara says, wait, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Mike Ovid, what'd you do? You didn't go from one Rishus to another Rishus. He goes, no, Abai V'Rava, I'm Tarayu, the Itamer of Adam Rava, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabin. You can't bring from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaRabin via traveling another Rishus HaRabin. I mean, don't say that, oh, I started Rishus HaYachid, I ended Rishus HaYachid, I'm okay. No, if you went via Rishus HaRabin, that's not going to be okay. All right, so we'll stop here by the two dots on the bottom, and I'm going to call Verizon, see what's going on with the Wi-Fi in the house. All right, everybody have a good day, a good chodesh. 3 o'clock. Wait. Can you record it on your phone?